are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. And as always, I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see where I am covering the game of baseball, including right here for Locked On Brewers. I cover the Braves at TomahawkTake.com, as well as AA South for Prospects 1500 and the Birmingham Barons for Southside Sox. So make sure that you go follow me all in those locations. Also, make sure that you follow Benny as well at Benny Rotino, as Benny will be joining me here on this episode as we break down game one of the NLDS. And also make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And like I said, yes, we will be breaking down game one, a game one victory for the Brewers over the Braves in the NLDS. What an exciting game it was. I'm so excited to talk about it because it had everything you could want and hope for in a postseason game. I thought it was a really fun game and a good win for the Brewers. Before we dive into all of that, let me remind you this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app now and join me the next time I go live to get in on the action. I did go live as a little pregame show on Spotify Green Room before game one, so enjoy the conversation there. I will try to do it again for game two if I have the availability, so be on the lookout for that whenever I do go live. But a lot of fun there watching postseason games together. Enjoyed doing that with some of you. But let's not wait any longer. Let's jump into game one because an exciting playoff game. This is what a playoff game should be. Those American League games over there are a snoozer to me. I am not enjoying those games at all, but this to me is what postseason baseball should be, Vinny. You got low scoring, good pitching, good defense, timely hitting. You know, it's just whoever blinks first. And fortunately for the Brewers, it was the Braves who blinked in this one, giving up the two-run home to Rowdy Tellez. But Vinny, you were there in the stands. Tell me about the atmosphere there at American Family Field and just how great it was, or hopefully it was great. It sounded great being there, enjoying that atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, best fans in sports, in my opinion. I mean, I was talking to my dad after the game, who was also at the game. He went with my brother-in-law. I went with my wife, but sitting in different spots. I mean, it was just absolutely electric all over the stadium. Again, the fans make it like a party. It's like a college game type atmosphere that you would see at like the SEC football games. I mean, these are the best fans in the game. And I mean, they make the game so much fun to watch every pitch. Obviously every play is just, everyone's kind of nervous, you know, as the game hangs in the balance, but at the same time, when something good happens, like that home run that Rowdy Tellez hit, I mean, it's absolutely pandemonium. You know, everyone becomes best friends that don't even know each other around you that sit in the stands. And my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Ricky, was we were standing with him on the concourse actually at that time when Rowdy hit that homer. It was absolutely electric. Just the whole game, it was cool. It's a really cool atmosphere. The buzz in the stadium is like, hey, man, this is something really special that we're kind of witnessing here. And this team has a chance to win it all. They caught a couple of breaks tonight and we're able to pull out game one.
Yeah, cool. I love postseason baseball, being in a stadium, you know, no matter really who you're cheering for, just enjoying that atmosphere. I'm going to be going to game three in Atlanta. I'm so excited about that. I'm going to take my nephew with me. He's really pumped about it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to go to that. But yeah, I'm just glad to have fans back. I mean, we didn't really get this last year. I know you had limited fans in Houston last year for some of those games, but there's nothing like a packed house for a postseason playoff game, baseball playoff game. So was so happy to see that. It was just great. It was a great atmosphere. I mean, you could even feel it on TV. I know being in there, the stands was even better. But let's dive into some of the action from the game. Let's start with Corbin Burnes. He was your game one starter. And, you know, did exactly what you hoped he would do. Six innings, two hits, three walks, no earned, six strikeouts, 91 pitches. Vinny, I thought it was a really good performance from him. I thought he maybe didn't have his best stuff, but he was able to battle through that and was good enough to shut down this Braves lineup, keep them in the ballpark. That's very key. What we've been talking about, limiting those home runs. And he didn't obviously didn't give up any. He didn't give up any runs, you know, really didn't give up much hard hit. Soler hit one to the warning track that was close to getting out. Maybe if it had been a different part, really, if it had been like 10 or 20 feet to the left, it might have gone out. But really, that was the hardest hit ball I think he gave up. So really good stuff from Burns. What did you think of his outing?
You know, after the first couple of batters, I was like, wait a minute, did we make the right decision here and not starting Brandon Woodruff? Because he's been kind of, you know, been there, done that kind of pitcher. But, you know, there had to be some nerves. There had to be some uncertainty for Corbin Burns just starting out and starting out that game. I mean, he walked the first two batters. I mean, I talked about how scared I've been of Freddie Freeman, and he just battles and gets on base and draws a walk that first AB. After a Jorge Soler walk as well. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure we'll talk about the play that Roddy Telez made, but that obviously got him off the hook, allowed him to settle in, allow him to kind of catch himself from, you know, kind of not having the game speed up on him too much right there. And it was a big break to get that play made by Roddy Telez. It was a great play. And then he really settled in. He really did a nice job of, you know, executing his pitches. The cutter was working tonight. You know, look, at the end of the day, he's got some really good hitters baffled up there at the plate. I mean, I saw Ozzie Albies take some really ugly swings. And he's a really, really good major league hitter. So he had his stuff, his best stuff working at times. I agree with you. Wasn't maybe his total crisp type of stuff that we've seen from him, like every single pitch at times this year. Wasn't that type of an outing, but like you said, I mean, his stuff is good enough and his execution was good enough of his stuff to get through six. And he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah. And you got to tip your hat to the Braves hitters a little bit too. They had a pretty good game plan going up there against him, kind of was spitting on some of those really close pitches, those borderline pitches. So yeah, you got to give them some credit as well. Would you have taken him out after 91 pitches? I know his spot would came up in the bottom of the sixth and Council trying to get some runs there, but I thought he was going to come back out for the seventh, but Council decided to pitch hit. Obviously, hindsight being what it is, it worked out. But did you think Burns was coming back out for the seventh?
I was a little bit surprised. I have to be honest. I thought he was going to go, you know, 110-ish range. Mm-hmm. He had another inning for sure in him, especially knowing that some right-handed hitters were coming up in the order for the Braves. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little bit of – you know, a situation where the Braves might have had the upper hand, right? Because now all of a sudden the Braves bullpen is more fresh, right? Than the Brewers, because Brewers went to the bullpen a little bit earlier, but that wasn't the case because Morton ended up going only the six innings as well. So, but at the time I thought, oh man, the Braves are going to have an advantage in this series at this point. But, you know, I thought it was a little bit surprising. I'm not going to lie that Burns came out. But look, maybe there's other plans, right, that we don't know about.
Yeah, clearly you know, there are different plans than what we were thinking.
Well, I'm just talking about maybe Burns will come back. Maybe they're only going to use three starters in the series, and that's maybe why Burns only went 91 pitches. We'll see. We often don't know what the plans are with Craig Council, David Stearns, Matt Arnold, Brain Trust. So they clearly know what they're doing, and we'll be here to speculate and talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of was my first thought when he came out at 91 pitches, because I thought there's no way he brings Burns back on 3 days rest for game four. But maybe that is the game plan. We'll have to see. Maybe it doesn't even get to a game four. You don't have to worry about it. But bringing him out that early when I thought he really was settled in and kind of cruising, yeah, that was a little shocking to me, but obviously worked out in the end. Let's take a break, and then I'll come back, dive into Roddy Telez and the big hit he got and big play on defense that he made. The show is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. If you're looking for a fantastic tasting protein bar, then look no further. Built Bar has a ton of flavors and a wide variety of flavors at that. It's not just your regular run-of-the-mill flavors. No, it's a bunch of different flavors from coconut to salted caramel. They got the mint brownie and my favorite, cookies and cream. There's a ton of really interesting, really cool flavors you don't normally get in protein bars, something that's going to give you a very unique taste, something that tastes good, and they're not hard as a rock like a lot of the other protein bars out there that you will find. Have a soft middle, so it's very easy to chew and easy to get down. They're very good, they're very tasty, and they're great for you. Most of them only have about 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. So whether you like to take them before a workout, after a workout, as a meal replacement in the morning, or whether just a snack for you like they are for me, you can eat them anytime. I can't tell you enough how good they are, especially for a protein bar. So go to BuiltBar.com today. Try a bunch of different flavors to figure out which ones are your favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off your next order. Just go to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. So, Vinny, we've been talking about, you know, getting some of these key players back, like Adames, like Avisel Garcia, and Rowdy Tellez. And Tellez ends up, you know, really being the player of the game on offense and really on defense. And I want to talk about that first inning, because to me, this is the play of the game. It completely changed this game. The Braves had first and third, nobody out. Ozzie Albies up. It's looking like the Braves are at least going to get an early run off Burns. His pitch count is skyrocketing. Ozzy hits a cutter that's really going at his knees. It was a terrible pitch to swing at by Ozzy when Burns was shaking or being a little shaky with his command. But he swings at it, pulls it to Tellez. Tellez steps on the bag, goes home, gets the double play, and just pretty much eliminates the threat right there. Benny, for me, this is the play of the game. I know Tellez ends up hitting the big home run later, but to me, this was it. I mean, this completely changed the whole dynamic of this game.
Without a doubt. I mean, this is the play of the game. This might turn out, if the Brewers end up winning the World Series or even going to the World Series, this is going to be a play that's going to be talked about or should be talked about going forward. I mean, the ability to make that play, nobody out, in Corbin Burns' first playoff start, correct me if I'm wrong, that's his first playoff start. Mm-hmm. And after the season that he had, you got to believe, and as calm and cool and low pulse as this guy has been, and the ability to kind of change who he is as a pitcher, change his mental approach to the whole game of baseball has been remarkable. But look, at the end of the day, it's still – your team has a chance to win the World Series, and you're towing the rubber game one of the playoffs. Packed house. I mean, I felt nervous for the kid. I'm sure he felt some nerves. And now all of a sudden, the nerves are squeezing in on you even more now, because there's nobody out. And you have two runners on, and you walk the first two batters of the game. So that play right there changed the entire game at the, I mean, I know it was the first inning, but it changed the momentum, a huge momentum swing, and it allowed Corbin Burns to breathe, to settle in and say, okay, this is just another game at this point. I'm telling you, before that, you could feel it out there for him that he was not settled. And so that settled him. And that was such a huge play. I don't think many other first basemen make that play, to be honest. Being left-handed helped for sure. He didn't have to turn or spin to make that play. So that was huge. I don't think any other first baseman, unless you're left-handed, make that play. And so absolutely huge, huge play. We've been talking about Rowdy Tellez's defense and how important it is for him to be healthy and to be playing first base in this series.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just for stuff like that, because I don't know if Escobar makes that play. Maybe. I don't know. I definitely don't think Vogelbach makes that play. No offense to him. But yeah, I mean, Rowdy makes that play. You get out of that jam. And I mean, it was really, you know, after that, you kind of feel it from the Braves side of things too. Like, they had their chance to get to Burns. You knew you probably weren't going to get many more, and they didn't. And so that's just a huge momentum shift too. I mean, even if the Braves just get a run there off Burns with the way Morton was pitching, you feel really good about their chances. Maybe Burns doesn't get through six innings. Maybe he ends up going, you know, throwing 10 more pitches in that inning as well. I mean, this, again, a huge play. I mean, I think you're right. They go on to win this series for sure. You're going to look back at that as player of the game. And yeah, even if they go on beyond that, I think that's how big that play was in this game. Because I mentioned Charlie Morton, and he was outstanding. He was maybe even better than Burns through the first five innings of the game. But then he started to lose it a little bit there in the sixth inning, walked a batter. And Vinny, I think it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, a pitcher's got a no-hitter going, hadn't pitched in a stretch a lot, and then all of a sudden you have to pitch in a stretch, and it kind of, you know, throws you off balance a little bit. It seems like a little bit of that was going on with Morton. He just all of a sudden lost his control in the sixth, was able to get out of that. But then that continued into the seventh. I mean, he got ahead of Avisel Garcia and then had a ball run in on him and hit Avi and put him on first. And then he's ahead of Telez as well. And he tries to throw a front door two-seamer. It comes back over the plate, and Telez did not miss it. That ball was absolutely hammered, Vinny.
Yeah, it goes to show. Like, well, at the end of the day, I think Charlie Morton wasn't necessarily tired. I think he went 101 pitches a couple starts ago. Against the Phillies. And I think he didn't necessarily look tired. He just looked like, you know, he just had wasn't totally sharp that third time through the order. And I think just the ups and the up and downs that he was doing, it just, he looked a little bit out of sync at that point. In the Brewers lineup, look, they've been battling pitchers like him all season long, right? There really isn't an out in this lineup in terms of, okay, I just got to execute three sliders and this guy's gone, like totally low stress pitches. I mean, the Brewers did a nice job of battling for the most part against Charlie Morton. And look, it's as much as Charlie Morton is a veteran, he's been there, done that. He's pitched in many, many playoff games, pitched in World Series. You know, it's still got to take a toll on you. The fans, the packed house, you know, just the adrenaline of pitching in those scenarios and in those situations that at the end of the day, you got to be on point every single pitch. And he wasn't in that seventh. And that's and like you said, he wasn't really that sharp in the sixth either. He kind of lost his command a little bit, kind of uncharacteristically. So, you know, Rowdy made him pay for it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that was really the offense for the Brewers hitters. I mean, again, Morton was really good in this game. They really didn't have many other chances to score. They had one at bat with runners in scoring position in this game. So, I mean, that was huge. I mean, that's really what the Braves are trying to do. They're trying to get a walk and hit a home run. And the Brewers kind of flipped the script and did that on them in this one. So, again, a huge at bat from Telez. I mean, a huge game from him, you know, defensively and offensively as well. But Craig, I laughed at the beginning because you were talking about, you know, maybe we don't have any idea what's going on or what the plans are. We're sitting here talking about what they're going to do without Devin Williams, how they're going to cover these middle innings. Not once did I mention Adrian Houser's name, and I think it was a brilliant move to go to Adrian Houser, because you're facing a Braves team that is just looking to lift and separate, and you bring in a guy with a heavy sinker that's going to get the ball on the ground, which he did. I know he gave up the one home run to Jock Peterson, but for the most part, came in, did exactly what he needed to do, got those ground balls. I thought it was a great move to go to Adrian Houser there, Vinny.
Absolutely brilliant. Like you said, I mean, we don't really know the plans, and they do. And I agree. And Adrian Houser has been so tough on right-hand hitters, so tough all year. And he's learning to pitch against left-hand hitters a little bit more effectively. And so, I mean, that's – definitely played into the plans here to bring Adrian Houser in the seventh there. I was a little bit nervous, to be honest with you, with Adrian coming in. I know, again, similar to Burns, he's kind of changed his mental approach to the game. He's not a thrower anymore, and he's executing pitches. The first pitch he threw, he kind of yanked out of the zone. I'm like, oh, this spot's a little too big for Adrian, but he came right back. Filled up the zone with that sinker, did an excellent job of doing so. And so, no, the spot isn't too big for Adrian Houser. He proved that tonight. Yeah, and what a brilliant move, brilliant performance from him.
And he also, Craig Counsell also had Freddie Peralta up in this game, which this could be a bullpen game. So we're still not really sure what the plans are with Peralta. And also interesting, he had Aaron Ashby up, who I think was going to come in to face Freddie Freeman in the eighth inning if it got to him, which tells me that Hader is strictly pitching the ninth, that no matter what, he's not going to come in to pitch multiple innings, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I think that kind of showed Council's hand, unless the season is on the line, which, you know, it wasn't here in game one. But the fact that he had Ashby getting up ready to face Freddie Freeman in the eighth tells me a lot about what Craig Council is going to do out of that bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I think all hands on deck type of thing. I think also that Freddie Peralta probably was scheduled to throw a bullpen today, that you could you could consider that. And so just, you know, maybe he didn't throw his usual bullpen to get ready for his start. That's probably what that was there. Hopefully, because I want him starting game three, to be honest with you. Unless they have plans for Eric Lauer to start game three. So who knows? I mean, again, we don't know. I do think it's very – I saw Aaron Ashby warming up when Adrian Houser was on the mound. And I would be willing to bet that he was supposed to come in to face Jock Peterson. The numbers probably said to do so. But I think at the end of the day, Craig Council had a gut feel for that situation and said, you know what, I'm going to stick with Adrian here. He's executing well. I don't want to bring in the kid that hasn't a ton of major league experience under his belt, who has some history of not finding the strike zone. I thought it was a good move to stick with Adrian there to get Jock Peterson. And then, he ended up not getting Jock Peterson. but he ended up getting out of the inning.
But he had Solaire on deck. I mean, you had the righty on deck too. So, I mean, you know, had there been a runner on, maybe he would have, but a home run there doesn't beat you, and it didn't. And then he's able to get Solaire and get out of the inning. So I do agree. I think it was the right call. I think Ashby was more so if it got to Freeman, or if there had been a runner on base when Jock came up. But yeah, I think that probably was the right call. Obviously it was, it worked out in the end, but yeah, I mean, I did not see that at all. I mean, I was looking to see who was coming in, and I thought, okay, maybe Boxberger's coming in. And then all of a sudden I saw it was Houser, and I was just like, you know, tip your cap to Council. That's just a really smart move and a really great way to address those middle innings. The last thing I want to talk about in the game is obviously the ninth inning. Things got a little sketchy in the ninth. Hader had to face the heart of the Braves order. Again, you talked about Freddie Freeman, just a tough at bat. I mean, took some really close pitches. Hader even got a strike that was off the plate in that at bat, but Freeman still battles back, gets the walk. Just really good at bat there. Had first and third, two outs, and Orlando Arcia came up to the plate. And Arcia actually put a pretty good swing on it, but went right to Wong at second base. But your just thoughts on Hader there in the ninth and the tense moments there in the end.
I mean, Hader was, you always kind of have a sense that Hader's going to get the job done. Big strikeout of Ozzy Albies there, right there after he did
Albies
walk.
Killed the Braves in this game. It was not a good game for him.
Not his best. Freddie Freeman is such a tough out. I can't, I don't know. He's the one guy I'm afraid of. He just had a really couple of really good at bats that just disrupt the Brewers pitching by being on base and having those really good at bats. And even Josh Hader, right, the best closer in the game, he's able, lefty on lefty, he's able to really have a quality at bat there and draw the walk. And then Hader was able to settle in a little bit and get that strikeout of Albies. And then at the end of the day, Omar Narvaez made an unbelievably
two of them.
Play by throwing that ball to second base on that little dinker out in front of the home plate, and ended up getting the runner at second. No chance to turn a double play there, but that's what he was thinking.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention the fact that he saved two wild pitches with a runner on third. Hader almost threw a 98 mile per hour ball to the backstop, and then he bounced one about 50 feet in the dirt that Narvaez blocked up. So, yeah, big plays by Narvaez there in the ninth inning.
Yeah, that too. I mean, for sure. I mean, he threw that slider that bounced way, way in front of the plate. I can't believe he blocked that one. And then, the 98 mile hour heater that was, in the other batter's box.
It may have taken Omar's arm out of socket there. I mean, he had to lunge for that ball and catch it. If that gets by him, it's a tie ball game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but a gutsy play to get the, to get that lead runner to force out at second base. I would have thrown that ball well into center field if I was catching. I had made that play many times, or I'd thrown that away. So great play there. And then obviously, Look, I'll tell you this. There was a buzz in the crowd when Orlando Arcia came up to the plate. Before that, it was kind of quiet in between pitches, in between batters coming up to the plate. When they announced Orlando Arcia, there was some chatter. Like it was a little bit like, oh, man, this is going to be a jinx type situation, because that was not the most popular trade when that went down.
Right.
And so it was almost
we weren't like fans of it. I know when it happened.
Yeah, right. Right. And it was almost like Snickers, like, I'm going to mess with the baseball gods here a little bit, bring Orlando Arcia up to the plate just so I can stir up something here. So good thing it did not work out for the Braves there. And obviously we saw Hader get that last out.
Yep. All right. We'll take another break and then we'll come back and preview game two. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You got NFL, college football going on right now. Obviously got the MLB playoffs, which we're talking about here with your Milwaukee Brewers. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the action. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Vinny. So game two, Brewers go up 1-0 in the series. Heading to game two, we got Brandon Woodruff versus Max Fried. Another great pitching matchup here. Things for me to watch in this one is rust for Woodruff. Hasn't pitched in a while. Typically struggles the first inning or two trying to find his command. That's something to keep an eye on. And trouble with the curve. We talked about it coming into this series. Brewers hitters not great against the curveball. We saw how Charlie Morton was able to kind of dominate the lineup for most of the game with that curveball. Max Fried has an even better curveball, and it's more of your traditional curveball. Morton was throwing more kind of a slider, had more horizontal movement. Fried is going to have more vertical up and down movement. So that'll be key as well to see how these Brewers hitters try to adjust and not go flailing at that curveball. But Benny, your thoughts on game two?
I mean, Max Fried's a guy that needs to establish that fastball to the glove side, right? I think he needs to get it inside to right-hand hitters in order for him to be at his best. I mean, he's taken a huge step forward this year, right? I mean, he's really kind of figured some things out, so he's done that. Hopefully he's not on his game tomorrow. And like I said, leaving some balls out over the plate. Look, it's going to be a similar game to tonight, in my opinion. You're going to have two really quality starters going at it. It's going to be, you know, one mistake out over the plate like Morton made, or a couple of batters where you lose your command type of thing, and then the other team's able to take advantage of it. And it's going to be another low-scoring game, in my opinion. Hopefully the Brewers are going to be the team that comes out on top. I mean, this is a resilient team. This team really does a great job of battling and coming out on top in these low-scoring games. They've done it all year long. So look for more of the same tomorrow.
Yep. All right. And I think it will be a great game. Again, a low-scoring game as well. Take the under in this one at BetOnline. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at ShortstopBall and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.